Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Hump Day!
It's the big day of the week. Theo's here. Everyone's here.
Wednesdays are slowly turning into my favorite day of the week as it pertains to Toast. Fridays are still my favorite day of the week, just in general.
Right.
But Wednesdays are becoming my favorite because Dear Toasters has really turned into a real staple around here.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an institution, part of the Toast.
Big institution.
Part of Toast history. And we're doing Dear Toasters today, so that will be fun.
Thank you to everyone who wrote in. We even have an update on a previous one for you guys, so I'm thrilled to be doing that. And also, just to celebrate Hump Day the only way I know how.
By grabbing, I say to my dog, Theo, get over here.
Jackie literally has watched my special once, but it obviously made a real impact on her because she memorized the entire thing. And that's just the type of valuable content you can find when watching my comedy special, Disgraced Queen. Now available on most streaming platforms, available for rent, stream, purchase on iTunes, Apple TV, Amazon Prime. You can stream the album on Spotify or iTunes, tons of places. Head over to my Instagram, Girl With No Job. I have a little highlight called Disgraced Queen with all the links to places you could listen and view.
Also, we must discuss the wallpaper in the room.
Oh, sorry. The literal elephant in the room we forgot to address. But yes, it's here. We told you guys we'd be making many updates. This was kind of the biggest one we were waiting for. And I think it's sickening, too.
I'm like looking at the camera. We look like we're in the Beverly Hills Hotel.
We are.
Filming the Morning Toast. Like, the toasty vibes are back. They never left. We've always been toasty. But now they are back and better than ever. We're going to get our neon sign back up at some point, and we're just making moves.
Yeah, and I'm like loving the vibes here. Very cozy, very warm, very palatial.
Also, another change that we made that just went completely unnoticed was we both like got two chairs.
Oh, by the way, I thought, like, you know how I say sometimes it's like everyone listens to the show and then sometimes like nobody listens to the show, and sometimes it feels like we're literally just talking to the four people in this room. That's how I felt when nobody noticed our chairs. We ordered this couch. This is one couch.
Yeah. We ordered the entire set in
November,
and one piece was missing, like was not delivered until
two weeks ago.
And it's finally here. So this is the way the couch was meant to look.
And if we have guests, now we don't have to sit on the thrones. I think we've
now
officially...
Now you and I each have somewhere to lean.
Oh my God, I love leaning.
We've been leaning.
And major update, because due to the arrival of the fourth couch, we did retire permanently two of our thrones. Don't worry. We still have two more. We're very attached to them. We just can't let them go. They're sitting right over there. Something about it feels wrong to let it go.
Yeah, no, we can't let them go. Like, those thrones were there for us. They had our backs literally, physically, mentally, spiritually.
They breathed new life into us as human beings, us as hosts, into our brands. We owe a huge debt of gratitude to those chairs. So I can't just throw them out. Even though you know me, I'm like literally the opposite of a hoarder. Like, Jackie calls me the sweeper.
She's the sweeper.
I sweep, I throw. If I haven't used you in a week, you're out. Like, I'm so like nuts about clutter. And these huge chairs definitely take up a lot of space in our studio, but it's so worth it, just for the memories.
Speaking of everyone listening to the Toast or not, something crazy happened yesterday.
Oh my God.
Wherein we found out that Bobby Bones was talking about us on his show because his girlfriend is a toaster. Shout out
so
to you.
I went to listen to it, and they upload the entire show as a podcast. It's 90 minutes. And I literally scrolled through the entire thing just to find us at the last 3 minutes. Okay, I literally wasted an hour and a half. Even though it was good, there was a Brett Eldridge interview. So, like, it wasn't really a waste of time. But if someone had just given me the timestamp, that would have been so much more helpful. And whenever people send at me, like, oh, this person mentioned the Morning Toast on their podcast, like, I automatically get a pit.
Hitsville, USA.
Just hearing people who, like, aren't, like, my friends that I know personally say the words of the Morning Toast gives me a sense of anxiety that I can't describe. Like, no. It's truly indescribable. And he was basically saying that they were talking about like ways to connect with your partner more meaningfully, like put your phone down. And he was like, well, all she wants to do is talk about this podcast she listens to, The Morning Toast. And he was like, yeah, she's always saying like the girl said this and the girl said that. And it was like literally making my day. And then he was like, well, I never heard of it. And I honestly probably should have mentioned it because then people will go listen to that instead of us. But it's probably just like a bunch of girls talking about tampons, which is, you know, toxic masculinity at its finest. But is he wrong?
No, we talk about tampons.
That's on a Lola sponsorship, okay?
We sell tampons. That's cool. So it's just fine. Mrs. Bobby Bones, hi.
We see you.
Thank you so much for listening.
Just, you know, a nationally syndicated moment never hurts.
No, it absolutely never hurts. Well, actually,
I guess it can hurt, but in this case, it didn't.
Speaking of a nationally syndicated moment, I recorded a segment for Tanya Rad's new radio
nationally
show. It's nationally syndicated. It's going to be on Z100 on Sunday night. I'll get you guys the exact time and myself. I'll have to call
Uber. We got to get in the car.
I have to call an Uber to listen to myself on the radio.
Oh, so funny. Did you get to request any new songs?
No, we just talked about podcasting, really. It's always fun, like, talking to her and catching up with her, and I'm just so proud of her and her new radio show.
Me
like
too.
That's such a major, big deal. And
nobody works harder than her.
And I'm just so excited to be included.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to bring up before we dive in, because I know it didn't make the cut for the Fast Five and it literally just came to me. But can we talk about the rumors that Vinny Guadagnino and Francesca Ferrago from Too Hot to Handle are like steamy and heating up?
Yes, we can. I saw it before I went to bed last night and I made a mental note to add to the Fast Five, and then the mental note just blew away.
Washed
in the wind.
Away.
But yeah, let's talk about it.
I don't know if it's just me or like the generation who grew up on Jersey Shore, but I hold a very warm, special place in my heart for Vinny Guadagnino. Like, to me, he was always like the good guy on Jersey Shore. He like loves his family. He's so cute. We always shipped him and Snooki. Part of us still does. And I love what he did with his career after Jersey Shore. Now Jersey Shore is back and I just love him. And I kind of like ship this to the nth degree.
I mean, so do I. I was still like holding out hope for her and Diplo. It turns out, by the way, that they dated before
previously.
She went on Too Hot to Handle. So maybe they're just like old flames who are now friends. Nice work if you can get it.
Truly.
I ship her and Vinny. It's not what I would have seen for her necessarily, but I'm completely on board. I hope the rumors are true. And it's more than just like Instagram commenting.
Yeah, no, it is. But it's also not like a full-fledged relationship. So I'm glad that we didn't make it like a benchmark story here today, because
right.
It's like, Wednesday. It's a special day.
Quarantine. Like, new cross-country relationships aren't just popping up.
Maybe they're just quarantine dating. And like after all this, they're never going to see each other again. Like most people who are quarantine dating with one another.
Yeah, like I'm sure plenty of celebrities go on like one date with a fellow celebrity and we never hear about it because it goes nowhere.
Right. No, that's so true. Well, that's what Jessica Simpson was saying in her book. Like she actually, when she like, after her divorce, was like being like a celebrity dating celebrities. She would date like all these like A-list actors, musicians, but it was so private because like they would literally have a date on a private jet. And she didn't name drop, which was really annoying, but it goes to show you that you can have a private date.
Yeah, you probably just want to meet someone, like see if it's any sort of connection before you bring the entire public into the rumors.
Exactly.
It's just my thoughts.
So we have a fabulous show for you guys.
We do. We have a lot of stories. And so I think we should just get right into it. You know,
sure.
There's no time like the present to deliver the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. Are you ready for it?
Are you ready for it?
Boom, boom, mm. boom.
Yes, I am.
Okay. First story. Erin Andrews is speaking out as she and Tom Bergeron, not correct, exit Dancing with the Stars. She says she'll cherish the experience.
They don't exit Dancing with the Stars. They're asked to leave.
Yeah. Erin Andrews has spoken out for the first time since it was announced on Monday that she and Tom B are leaving Dancing
the
with the
now,
Stars.
It's the Bachelor now, Tom B.
The co-host issued a statement on Instagram alongside two photos with Tom, reflecting on her experience with the show. Quote, thank you, ABC, and the entire Dancing with the Stars family for 6 memorable seasons. Those years wouldn't have been as special without my loving host, Tom, the talented dancers, and witty judges. I will always cherish my days on set, even if I wasn't the best at walking in heels.
Witty judges, aka annoying judges. This seems like such a random shakeup because we actually had the pleasure of going to Dancing with the Stars filming last season, and we were both saying after how like we thought it was the most fabulous, like well-run, glamorous Hollywood show. And if I did, you know, have to complain about something, it would be the horrible judges. Like to me, they're so annoying, and they just give like the most inconsistent grades, scores, and like there's. To me, I literally hate the judges. And so if you said, Claudia, they're shaking up the cast of Dancing with the Stars, I'd be like, oh, good. The judges are out. Like, so there's nothing I didn't have a problem with Tom and Erin. It's like they really are. I know we keep saying this, but they were like an institution of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
But I'm not at all mad at their replacement.
Right. So the next half of this story is the news that Tyra Banks has been named the new host and executive producer of Dancing with the Stars. The announcement of Banks as the new host of the reality competition series comes just one day after it was revealed that Tom and Erin would be stepping away from the show. So Tyra Banks has entered the ballroom.
Yes.
Yesterday when I saw Tom and Erin were leaving, it was like question mark, didn't fully understand, whatever. I didn't think much about it. And then today finding out that Tyra is taking on the role as host, I was just really excited.
Okay, like Tyra Banks is an iconic television show host. I mean, we were rooting for you. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. Like, I have never in a life yelled at my girl like this. She's so prone to iconic moments that I'm so looking forward to seeing what she has in store for us. And like, you know, I just think this is fabulous. Like, this is just, on so many levels, I think this is going to be great. But it is a two-man job, and now she's doing it by herself. I wonder how that's going to play out. You know, she's going to be running all over the ballroom for the two-hour episode.
Ooh, interesting. Maybe they'll reformat the host's duties.
Right.
Or maybe someone will accompany her.
Like a correspondent.
Yes, like a correspondent on the ground.
OTG.
Dancing Stars.
Dancing Stars, yeah. So yeah, this was like a really random shakeup and maybe not necessary, but I'm not mad about the results.
No, and she's also an executive producer, which is very exciting.
I mean, a lot of people forget because she's kind of been super low-key the last few years, but she has made her mark on television, both reality and otherwise, for many years. Tyra, the show, she was host of America's Got Talent and like the creator, founder, host of America's Next Top Model, which now my favorite thing on TikTok is people like drudging up old episodes of reality TV just to see like crazy things being said and done that would never fucking happen today. And on America's Next Top Model, that is like the prime show. It's like all the shit they used to say was so outrageous and like it would never get made today. But it's just the TikToks of people resurfacing these old episodes are some of my favorite content to watch.
Wow, that's really funny.
It is really funny.
It's true. We're going to get some iconic moments. I think this is good news. I hope Tom and Erin have something lined up or...
Well, Erin is Fox Sports. Like, that's, I think, her major moneymaker, and I think she'll be just fine.
But I do agree with you that if we're going to be shaking it up, that judge's table...
Carrie Ann, I'm so sorry, but it is your time. Len, you as well, and Bruno, you have got to go. Like, and I don't know what the accolades are of them personally, like what makes them mm-hmm. professional. And I know that they have ties to ballroom dancing, and I am sure that they are qualified. But this is an entertainment show, and I'm just so over their shtick. Like, Bruno, every second, like, getting up, Len, I'm upset. Like, everything is so, like...
I think you just watch the show too much, because...
By the way, I barely watch the show, and the fact that I know their tropes is how I know it's so overplayed and overdone.
Yeah.
I honestly, I've been to an episode once, and I probably watched, like, 5 episodes in my life, maybe less.
Yeah.
So I'm not even a stan. It's just, it's so old school. I feel like they were the appropriate judges when the show was a place for Z-list talent. Like, when the show first got on the air, like, they could not land real celebrity talent. It was really, like, a who's who of Loserville. Now it's, like, a prestigious place where, like, winning is really good for your career. And I just think the judges have to evolve with the type of contestants that are now being put on the show. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wasn't Julianne Hough a judge at one point?
Perfect person for it.
What happened?
I don't know. She was a dancer, right?
Yeah.
And then she, like, graduated.
Uh-huh.
And which I think should be a thing. I think that's excellent. Who knows better about the dances than the dancers?
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong, what happened to her, but I know Derek Hough is on So You were World of Dance, one of those.
World of Dance.
Which is like the losery cousin of Dancing with the Stars. I actually like Dancing with the Stars a lot.
Yeah. I'm excited for the new season whenever they get to film it and it comes out. I've actually been reading, I saw an article today that Real Housewives of Orange County are filming.
Yeah.
And they're going on their cast trip.
Like, oh my God, where are they going?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't click it, but I just thought that was an interesting factoid.
Jimmy Fallon is back at 30 Rock, but like totally alone, no audience.
Interesting.
Which is so weird. But I'm so over these at-home shows. Like, they're really making me sad.
Yeah. No, and I think they're hard for the people hosting them as well. Like, it's hard to get motivated and inspired while you're, like, doing your own glam, like, talking to your living room.
It's also very toxic to have your home become your workplace. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, who else was saying that? I don't remember. But it's not healthy to, like, have no boundaries.
Yeah.
So I feel like that causes them to perform less well, less good.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay, well, that's the Dancing with the Stars news. Exciting.
Yes, cha-cha.
Some more hosting news. Nick Cannon was fired by ViacomCBS over anti-Semitic comments on a podcast. ViacomCBS has terminated its relationship with Nick Cannon following an episode of Cannon's Class in which he made anti-Semitic remarks. Quote, ViacomCBS condemns bigotry of any kind and we categorically denounce all forms of anti-Semitism. We have spoken with Nick Cannon about an episode of his podcast Cannon's Class on YouTube, which promoted hateful speech and spread anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, said a spokeswoman for the company. While we support ongoing education and dialogue in the fight against bigotry, we are deeply troubled that Nick has failed to acknowledge or apologize for perpetuating anti-Semitism. We are terminating our relationship with him.
Some of those comments were wild and out.
Yeah.
Truly.
Those comments were wild. He stands by them.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. It's like, of course, I like to look at every cancellation with a good amount of grace, even when I'm, you know, I am offended.
The like, target.
I'm the target. And I watched the episode, and I was like, whew, okay. And then I'm like, let's see what happens. Like, I wonder if there will be backlash. And he, you know, really dug in. He went on, he gave a statement to the Fast Company and a little thread on Twitter where he's like, I'm all open. Like, I want to learn more, but never once did he really A, apologize or B, acknowledge that he said anything wrong. It was very general.
Yeah. So,
and then he said he actually doesn't like apologizing.
Yeah, no. So he pretty much stands by what he said. And this is what he said. He interviewed rapper Richard Griffin, known as Professor Griff, about his dismissal from the hip hop group Public Enemy in 1989 for saying the Jews are wicked and are responsible for the majority.
Yeah, we're wicked cool.
And are responsible for the majority of wickedness that goes on around the globe.
No, we are just responsible for being fans of the show Wicked. I think he's confused.
Griffin doubled down on his comments in his interview with Nick Cannon. Cannon said, "You're speaking facts. There's no reason to be scared of anything when you're speaking the truth." Cannon later added that black people are true Hebrews. Quote, "You can't be anti-Semitic when we are the Semitic people. That's our birthright. So if that's truly our birthright, there's no hate involved."
So according to Nick Cannon, I am not Jewish.
Yes. And okay. Nick Cannon also attended this July 4th speech by Louis Farrakhan, where these same ideas right. were reiterated, where Jews are called satanic.
Yeah.
We are termites. If you see a Jew, uncover them and
throw a stone.
Pick up your stone. It's not funny.
No, it's not funny. But like, it's so outrageous.
It's so outrageous. And so this is obviously this
conspiracy theory.
This strain of thinking that Nick Cannon subscribes to. There are also other celebrities who attended that speech, who promoted that speech.
It was really disheartening.
No one's talking about it. No one's going to talk about it. But T.I., 2 Chainz, and Rick Ross all were in attendance. Snoop Dogg and
Very
P.
Upsetting
Diddy
at Snoop
both
Dogg.
Promoted the speech. And as a Jewish person, it's terrifying.
Yeah. No, and it's just such a strange thing to like dig your grave in. Like, it's just such a random and far out conspiracy. Like, I'm so sorry. I am Jewish.
Yeah. We are Jewish.
You know what? And again, I don't feel like people should, I don't believe in cancel culture, and I don't believe that people should be fired for things that they said if, you know, they didn't mean them or it was misinterpreted.
Or if they're going to apologize and learn from it.
But it's very clear that Nick Cannon knew exactly what he was saying. He stands by it and he's not sorry for it. So in that case, I do, as the governor of cancel land, I approve this cancellation.
Yes. And I also, I applaud ViacomCBS because it does feel like sometimes people can get away with saying anti-Semitic remarks. And even though we don't necessarily condone getting fired for what you say, that's the world that we live in. People are getting fired for offensive remarks. That's the price.
So it should be an equal playing field.
It should apply to all offensive remarks, and when it feels like it doesn't apply to anti-Semitism, that is really disheartening. But here it does, and I applaud Viacom.
So I'm not entirely sure what Viacom letting him go entails. I do think that Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out, which is the MTV show that's been on forever, is one of the Viacom productions. And so he will either be, it's called, like when you look in the TV guide, it's called Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out. So either, I don't think the show will be canceled, but maybe they will rebrand without his name and he will no longer be an executive producer.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. But
that's that.
That's that on that. Next up, I don't know what to call her. Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine.
Pleads not guilty to sex trafficking abuse charges. Ghislaine Maxwell pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to charges that she helped traffic young women for Jeffrey Epstein to sexually abuse, as her trial date was set for next year. Maxwell appeared via video conference for her arraignment on a 6-count indictment charging her with recruiting and grooming young women to be molested by Epstein. Prosecutors said she took part in some of the abuse herself. So she has pled not guilty. She was trying to get bail, but
she got none.
The bail proceeding hasn't been ruled yet, but obviously she's an extreme flight risk. And so hopefully bail is not posted or else this will never see this woman again.
Well, she's an extreme flight risk who is claiming that she has no income, I guess, just for her and her lawyers to prove like she's not a flight risk, so maybe she can get out on bail, even though she's just contradicting herself now because she asked the judge permission to stay in like a local fancy hotel instead of prison until her trial. Like, what makes you think you're special,
and
bitch?
And she bought a fancy house as her hideaway.
Right. No, it's like, you think you're special? No, you're a criminal, bitch. You're going to fucking jail, bitch.
Also, another interesting factoid, she's secretly married and she's refusing to reveal the name of her husband, prosecutor said this week at the accused Madam's bail hearing. The bombshell detail was divulged Tuesday as Manhattan prosecutors accused her of purposely hiding the extent of her wealth. Quote, in addition to failing to describe in any way the absence of proposed co-signers of a bond, the defendant also makes no mention whatsoever about the financial circumstances or assets of her spouse, whose identity she declined to provide to pretrial services.
Isn't that public information? Like, get the license?
I have no idea. Who would marry this woman?
No, who would marry this wench? Like, this literal piece of garbage, smelly hot garbage on a warm, sunny day in New York. Like, who has that little respect for themselves and humanity to even come within 5 feet of Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yeah. I don't know.
Ugh, I don't know what's more sickening. You know what? If you're single, you guys, there is hope. Because if Ghislaine Maxwell can find a husband, so
if
can Ghislaine you.
If Ghislaine Maxwell can find a man, so can you.
It's so true. Like, those are some of the most inspiring words I've ever heard.
Well, I really, really hope that justice, like, that we hold on to justice, that she is not released on bail. Like, this is our real last chance to get justice for these girls.
You know, let's take it one step at a time. And for where we are right now, I think it's going well. They're not letting her stay in the hotel. She'll probably not get out on bail. So I think we have to just take it one step at a time. And I think for right now, we're in a good spot.
Bail was denied.
Okay.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
So like I said, I think we're in a good.
Hallelujah.
We're in a good spot.
We
can't get ahead of ourselves.
We can't count our chickens before they hatch.
Right. So we're fine for now. But there's so much work to be done.
Yeah. Okay. But speaking of Jeffrey Epstein, Chrissy Teigen is slamming a bizarre conspiracy linking her to Jeffrey Epstein. Chrissy Teigen is at a breaking point and worried for her family because she has been the subject of bizarre conspiracy theories linking her to disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein. The model exploded on Tuesday when a user pointed out that she had deleted over 28,000 tweets yesterday and also falsely claimed she was on Epstein's flight logs going to his island, Little St. James, which has been nicknamed Pedophile Island or Island of Sin.
By the way, I heard it was 66,000 tweets.
Well, so she tweeted, I actually deleted 60,000 tweets because I cannot fucking stand you idiots anymore, and I'm worried for my family. Find me talking about toddlers and tiaras in 2013 and thinking you're some sort of fucking operative. Fucking detectives that can't even do simple subtraction to see how much was deleted. That's who we are working with here. She added in a later tweet, calling the conspiracy theorists losers. When another person commented that she seemed defensive, she answered, this I don't get. Everyone thinking I'm guilty because I'm defensive. You understand you are calling me a pedophile, right? Correct? So
there a while ago, I mean, the flight logs of famous people who were on the Jeffrey Epstein plane, which they called the Lolita Express, were released with a ton of evidence like years ago. And people like combed through and found, like, I think they said Bill Clinton was on it like 20 something times. There's tons of celebrities, I think, you know, innocent celebrities and not innocent celebrities, because rich people take rich people's planes all the time. Mm-hmm. So just because you're on the flight log, it is not an admission of guilt. But someone made a fake flight log like years ago, putting Chrissy Teigen and John Legend on it. And it has been widely, you know, disproven that it's not real, but it still like follows her around. And I follow her on Twitter and she tweets about it a lot, especially when Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine were like in the news. So people have been obviously tweeting it at her recently, given all that's going on with Ghislaine. And it must be annoying for her. But I feel like there's two things going on here, you know, because people have actually judged up like old Chrissy Teigen tweets. I mean, she used to be like, before she was like everything of the sort, she was like a popular-ish model, and she had like hilarious takes on pop culture.
It was a funny model.
But some of them were not 2020 friendly. So I think that probably deleting her tweets was a good thing for her career. Like if you hope to, you know, start a career in like amount to any, you know, small amount or big amount of success, I can't stress enough how important it is to clear out your social media probably once every 2 years. Times change so quickly, and things that were acceptable to be said in 2010 are not acceptable in 2020. And although that's, you know, a reasonable thing to happen, you know, everyone makes mistakes, we live in a very unforgiving world. So if you are trying to, you know, rise to some sort of fame or notoriety, I highly encourage you, take a page out of my book, take a page out of Chrissy Teigen's book, delete your tweets. So I think Chrissy Teigen probably should have done this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that the tweets have anything to do with the Ghislaine Maxwell.
Well, I guess because what she said about toddlers and tiaras is now people are going to go through her 60,000 tweets, find anything she's ever said about children, and like find a way to sexualize it and connect her to Jeffrey Epstein.
Got it. Okay, that's the connection. I didn't get that. Okay.
Yeah, so I guess that's why she deleted her tweets. I mean, honestly, aside from her talking about it, like, I really haven't seen people like calling out Chrissy for being connected to Jeffrey Epstein.
She's not in any of the documentaries.
Right, but I'm sure she gets it in her mentions and it's annoying.
Yeah, of course. Especially because it's not true.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Stop. It's not true.
Yeah. Sure.
Stop.
I'm kidding.
It's not true.
Did the final story?
Wow, that was fast.
It was fast.
Is it a little business?
No, it's not. It's more entertainment news, some exciting news. Vanity Fair cover of Viola Davis is the magazine's first by a black photographer.
What a disgrace. I'm sorry. In 2020.
I know.
The first. I can't believe we're still having firsts.
I agree. The new issue of Vanity Fair, featuring a powerful image of Oscar-winning actor Viola Davis, marks the first time the publication has featured the work of a black photographer on its cover. The historic image of Davis, shot by photographer Dario Calmis, shows the 54-year-old in profile, her back facing the camera. Davis is wearing a blue gown with a deep plunge in the back, hand on her hip. The publication has had a problem in the past with putting black women on the covers, Davis says in an interview for the magazine.
Call them out.
The cover is stunning, and the photos stunning.
And it's just such interesting timing, because I was reading a lot of stuff on Twitter about Simone Biles was recently on the cover of Vogue, and of course that's amazing. She's so deserving of
also
the accolades.
A great cover. I saw it was posted on the Morning Toast Instagram, and I'm just so happy for her.
But if you look at a lot of the pictures from the actual spread, I believe Annie Leibovitz was the photographer, and I don't know if she has tons of experience shooting and lighting black skin, and it's very clear that she doesn't, because Simone is really poorly lit in a lot of the photos, and her black skin, which is like her greatest feature, is not being highlighted at all, and it's just poorly lit. And you could see the biggest, if you look at the spread of Simone Biles and the spread of Viola Davis, like you can see the difference in working with a black photographer who totally understands how to light, how to work, how to shoot with black skin. And Viola Davis looks amazing, and like that yellow behind her, she looks so powerful, and I love that she wore her natural hair, and I love her
as well.
And she said she like there, because a lot of the interviews, of course, about, you know, the current climate and Black Lives Matter. And she said something so powerful. She said, my entire career has been my protest. Iconic.
Yeah. Wow.
She looks beautiful.
It's a great cover. Check out the article.
And like, why is Vanity Fair have such a hard time putting a black person on the cover? I don't know. And they've never had a black photographer. It's just disgraceful. It's just so weird, because these are also the publications who also write about this stuff.
Right.
So it's like, You talk the talk, but I see you sitting down.
Yeah, walk the walk.
You're not walking the walk.
It's time.
Okay, so now it is time, Jackie, for Dear Toasters, which is our advice segment. If you ever want to email us to write in, it's always anonymous, and the email is deartoasters@gmail.com. And Dear Toasters is brought to you by Beachbody. The summer season, unfortunately, is not on hold, so your summer body shouldn't be either. Get access to professional training from the comfort of your home with Beachbody On Demand. Thousands joined Beachbody On Demand to stay fit during COVID-19, and they weren't disappointed. Beachbody On Demand gives you instant access to over 1,300 workouts you can stream anytime, so you can maintain a consistent routine at home on your own schedule. This is the company behind P90X, Insanity, and 21 Day Fix. Now you can check out some of their newest programs like Morning Meltdown 100 and 80-Day Obsession and start every day strong. They have hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, including bodybuilding, weight training, cardio, HIIT, yoga, and even dance workouts. You can work out on your own schedule with workouts just as short as 10 minutes that don't require any extra equipment. You can view it on your computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. It is the best deal in fitness because listeners of The Morning Toast can try it absolutely free. You know, if you're looking to do something, quarantine is like you finish watching The Morning Toast and then it's noon. Like, what the hell do you do? Morning Toast, morning meltdown, burn. And then it's time for lunch. So yeah. That sounds ideal to me.
Love it.
To get a special free trial membership, text TOAST to 303030. That's TOAST to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform, all the workouts, nutritional information, and support absolutely free. Just text TOAST to 303030. Thanks, Beachbody On Demand.
Love it. Sign on, get your Beachbody right. Also, before we get into your toasters, just talking about conspiracies, Chrissy Teigen, et cetera.
Yes.
We are about to record after this a Patreon episode all about conspiracy theories. There's a lot going on right now between the Wayfair, and it's honestly insulting to call some of them conspiracy theories because it's just like unpopular theories that are probably true.
Okay, I don't feel that way about the Wayfair one.
You don't?
No, we'll get into it. We'll but like there's it. Proven, like there's, yes, there's kids who have gone missing with that name, but they have been found. Like no one's following up that like the kids have been found. But I don't, we'll see. We'll talk. We're going to dive into
it. Patreon.com/TheMorningToast.
We're not fully educated on the scandal, so I'm going to educate myself.
We're
going to
be reading the details, talking about it in depth, and because that's something that a lot of people want us to talk about, and there's just a lot of different theories swirling around about different subjects right now, and so we're going to give you our thoughts.
Literally, I did not hear one word. That last sentence was not English. You said, I'm going to give you our thoughts.
There's a lot of theories swirling around about different subjects now, and so we're going to give you our thoughts.
Got it. Okay. Now, dear toasters. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. I recently moved into a new apartment building in the downtown area of my city. It's a bit older and there are only 8 units, including my own. The building is designed so that your apartment door faces outside, which normally would make me feel very unsafe, except that all the doors face inwards towards each other. So anyone on the street would think it's normal.
I don't get it.
Okay. The building is designed so that your apartment door faces the outside, which normally would make me feel very unsafe, except that all the doors face inwards towards each other, so anyone on the street would think it's a normal, secure entry building. Still don't get it.
Okay, maybe it's like a hallway of doors that go to the outside, but like...
A courtyard situation. Okay. A couple weeks ago, something weird started happening. I took my recycle out late at night to the alleyway where my recycling bin is. I was feeling lazy, so rather than breaking down my cardboard boxes, I just decided to throw them in the bin. Oh, that is so relatable. There were mostly just White Claw boxes, so I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. The next morning, I woke up to find that someone had gone into the recycling bin, pulled out all the boxes I put in there, and put them in front of my door. It threw me off because I just assumed one of my neighbors had seen me and was trying to make a point, so I broke all the boxes down and then put them back in the recycling bin. Later that night, I opened my apartment door, and I shit you not, someone had gone into the recycling bin, put all my boxes out, taped them together, and put them on my doorstep. To say I was shook was an understatement. Since then, this has happened maybe 3 or 4 times where I wake up in the morning and the boxes I broke down have been put back together and are sitting on my doorstep. Oh my God. I have no idea who it is, but I'm really starting to freak out. What should I do? Do I call my landlord? Do I dress in camp and hide in the bushes? Please give me guidance on how to catch this predator. Sincerely, a concerned toaster. Wow. That is so weird. That's not where I thought the story was going. No. Because honestly, like, I have a few times in buildings that I've lived in, like, not broken down boxes because I'm just so lazy. And it's like, you have to do it. It's like part of living in a building. It is your duty as like a responsible neighbor.
Yeah. This is really crazy.
Are they always alcohol boxes? Maybe this person's like very religious.
And like trying to send you a message. This is a case for the FBI, honestly.
Truly.
No, here's what you should actually do, because this is like weird and scary. Get a Ring doorbell or some sort of doorbell where it shows the person who is coming to your door. That's also just a good thing to have in general, especially if your door faces the outside. Just get a photograph of the person who it is. And then depending on if you know the person in your building or if you guys have like a resident manager, you can deal with it that way. But first, I would want to know who's doing this. And I agree. Maybe it's something about the alcohol and they're trying to like show you that you're drinking too much, but
or
like,
it's like someone who is like takes offense from alcohol, like someone deeply religious.
I I don't believe that like people would actually do something like that based on alcohol.
This person, it might not be hard to narrow down because she said it's only 8 units in the building. This person obviously has no job or life because he's spending all of his time like rummaging through trash and putting boxes back together that have been broken down by his neighbors. So find the person in the building who's like in the building the most, who has the least amount of like things going on. It's probably that person.
Or like if you don't want to get a Ring doorbell, and also like the person might see it when they're dropping off the boxes, like grab a friend, do a stakeout. Put your boxes as you normally do, maybe do even more than normal. Mm-hmm. So you're just like triggering them and then get in the bushes, see what happens.
That is creepy though, just to like know that someone in your building is like keeping an eye on you. Yeah. For something, maybe you're not recycling them properly and he's like trying to make a point. I don't know. That's very strange. I offer you no advice other than just do a little digging.
Yeah.
But carefully, because this person's obviously a sociopath with nothing else to do.
Carefully.
All right, next up. Hi, Jackie and Claudia. First, how you doing? I need some serious help.
That's what we're here for.
I've been with my boyfriend for 5 good years, and we have lived together for the last 2 of them. Things have always been so good. We've had a few bumps, but nothing major or worth breaking up over. Recently, I noticed he has been so different, like more secretive. He will always be on his phone and hide it. He doesn't even let me see it if we're in the car and I want to change the song. Something just doesn't feel right. I expressed to him that I feel like he might be doing something wrong, and he has explained to me that he's not. This led me to finding out that he's been obsessed with ASMR for the past year, and I had no idea. He said he was embarrassed, but I kept ensuring him that it's okay, and you like what you like. The gut feeling went away. Then, those weird little things he was doing started up again, so I, of course, got skeptical. One day, he was in the shower. I decided to snoop and went through his Apple Watch to see his conversations with friends. I am disgusted. He was talking about asking girls if... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He was talking about some girls' OnlyFans. I have yet to find proof of him actually going on, but he talked about asking girls if they would strip for him and how some girls have fat asses and shit like that. It's been a few days now, and he knows something's wrong with me, but I don't know how to confront it, plus I really don't want him to know I went through his shit, lol. I know he knows why I'm mad, but he has yet to mention anything, but we've just kind of been here. We don't really talk about it, and it's just been super awkward, but I want him to bring it up. Am I being insane? I know, like, he wasn't doing too much, but I just don't know what... But I just don't know if I want to be with someone who talks so gross about other girls like that. Should I wait for him to bring it up? Should I just put my foot down and say, fuck this, I deserve better? Or do I stop acting crazy and just let it go? Please help. By the way, you guys make me look forward to the morning drive to work. Love, a California toaster. California toaster, you are not being crazy. Like, this is very inappropriate.
This is crazy. This is really tough because when you see that, like, when I heard, you know, he's asking her to strip for him, it's like, it feels like cheating.
It is.
But... it's weird. It's like, it's kind of the same as watching porn, but it's like interactive.
No, it's
porn.
It's completely different.
No. But like, it's not cheating. He's not having a relationship with this person on OnlyFans. I consider... Like, that girl on OnlyFans has like millions of fans. Like, they're not in any sort of relationship. I'm assuming she's popular on OnlyFans, but...
No, I'm sorry.
Maybe thousands of fans.
No, this is too much.
I personally could not stand for this.
And you know what?
But it's a weird 2020 version
of like, oh my
your
God.
Man watching
no.
porn.
No, it's not. No, seriously. Don't draw the line there. Like, that you're... No, stop. Seriously. No. But like, no. Okay,
there's so many people who use OnlyFans. Are they all cheaters? I don't know.
You know what?
Right? Like, I think...
Well, there's a difference between subscribing to an OnlyFans and then engaging with an OnlyFans.
Is there really?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But you know what? I feel like this girl's worry is that, like, she doesn't want to confront him because she doesn't want him to know that she snooped. But you know what? I feel like a lot of people feel that way, where it's like they find something out, but they don't want to bring it up because the way they found it out is suspect. But it's like, sorry that your boyfriend gave you reason to doubt him. There's no shame in snooping when you're just trying to like save your relationship because your boyfriend made you feel like something was wrong. It's his fault, not yours. He led you. He forced you to snoop.
Yes. Also, I would say before you bring it up, figure out how you feel about it, you know, because it seems like you're conflicted. If you're not sure if what he did is like a deal breaker, and I think for some people it would be, and I think for others it wouldn't. I think for me it would be a deal breaker, I'm not gonna lie. So figure out how you feel about it first, then take it to him. And also, you don't have to tell him what you did. He's talking about it with his friends. Maybe his friends slipped. Like, he's not even being so secretive about it. So you don't even have to say, like, I went through something. You just be like, I'm not telling you who told me. say, I'm not telling you who told me, because then it just takes the onus off of you snooping.
No, but you want to know what the problem, like, this is what's so fucked up about the situation. The problem is not that she snooped or how she found out.
But she obviously...
The problem is what's going on. So let's attack that as much as we're thinking about attacking the route in which she found out. Who fucking cares?
Yes,
okay?
I agree. But I understand what she's saying. She doesn't want to, like, bring herself into the doghouse with him. For it's like, you know, in a case, when the police find evidence, but they get it without a warrant, it's immiscible. It's inadmissible.
Okay, now here's the other thing. I thought a lot about what you said about, like, porn and... There is so much free porn out there that I think paying for it, subscribing to it for someone you like admire, takes it to a level that's more inappropriate than watching porn on a free website.
Agreed, more inappropriate.
And then it's like, who wants to marry someone? Honestly, paying for porn is so not economical. Like, that's like paying for Sirius XM when the Morning Toast exists. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
No, that's a bad example, but you know what I mean? It's like, It says a lot about him that he's paying for specific porn, because there's very high quality porn out there that's free, and it just shows that he's not good with money, and I don't know if that's the kind of man you want in your life. There's so much going on
here. That's a whole other issue. I would say
it's a very big issue.
But like, we can't even figure out like how we really feel about it, because it's not as clear cut as cheating, but it's also not as clear cut as just watching
porn. I'm sorry. Maybe I haven't made it very clear.
It's cheating.
100 By the way, and I don't know why you have to put a label on it. Does it make you uncomfortable or not? Like, if Ben did this, like, I would be out the fucking door. You don't have to put a label. Is it cheating? Is it not? How does it make you feel? Bad or good?
Yeah.
Good stay, bad leave.
No, it's not going to make her feel good. I'll tell you that much.
Well, no, maybe someone didn't care. Maybe she wants to get involved on the OnlyFans, get her own subscription. They can engage together. You never know.
You never know. But I would say first figure out how you feel about it, then bring it to him. Don't worry about the way in which you got it. If he focuses on that, then he's just deflecting and he can't like have a serious conversation about what's been going on. At the beginning of this story, I was about to tell you that you were going to get engaged. And that's
me
like,
too. Oh my God.
So weird.
That's always what we think. It's like when your fiance of 5 years, everything's going so well. I mean, your boyfriend of 5 years, everything's going so well. It starts being secretive. It's like, because you're getting engaged. Get excited.
Unfortunately.
I don't think that's in your future.
I don't know if that's...
Let me set my crystal ball.
You should even want at this point. But wow, this is a real like 2020 issue.
Yep.
And I'd be curious to hear what other people think.
And I'd be curious to know whose OnlyFans it was, because some people's I've heard are worth it, you know? I don't know if it's Chad Johnson's, I've heard it's not worth it, but I'm assuming it's a girl.
Yeah. Anyways, good luck, my friend.
Our third and final Dear Toasters is an update from last week. If you remember, we were written in to... by a girl whose friend was in this debacle where, like, her toxic ex-boyfriend was, like, wanting to, like, reignite. But, like, she was onto her stepbrother.
Okay. Yeah.
So, hello to my favorite podcasters, Jackie and Claudia. I'm playing catch-up on last week's episode, and I almost fell over in my kitchen when I heard my Dear Toasters read aloud on the show. I sent that back around Easter time, so I was not ready to hear it on this episode, but I have major updates on my friend's stepbrother/ex-boyfriend hookup saga. They're not real stepbrothers.
Yes, it's their parents are dating.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's Serena and Dan.
That's what she says. Okay.
It's Cher and Josh.
You'll be happy to know that she has officially moved out and moved on from her toxic fiance, and they have not spoken or seen each other since post-Easter phone sex. However, her stepbrother, aka Dan to her Serena, her wow, they are hooking up just about every night now. And something I forgot to mention in the first email is that she is a virgin. That's correct. She and her 41-year-old fiance of 5 years had never had sex. By the way, she didn't mention that the fiance was 41 years old in the other.
I think she said older.
Okay. And she wants him to take her virginity. She's catching big time feelings and has said that once quarantine is over and they are not living in the same house, she wants to attempt to pursue an actual relationship, but in total secret, because she knows it would not fly with the family. She asked me every time we FaceTime what she should do, and I kept saying, I don't think this is a good idea, but the heart wants what it wants. I know Jackie doesn't see the issue so much, thanks to entertainment, but I can't be the only one that thinks a secret relationship with her stepbrother is a good idea. This is moving way beyond just hooking up, because times are tight in the queue and I'm worried that it'll only get worse. I worry about the weirdness of it all and also my friend getting hurt. If this was one of your good friends, what would you do/tell them to do? RTK, incest is still not best.
I don't know. I just think it's like hard to get a guy.
No, I actually agree with you. Like, it's hard to get a guy in regular times. In quarantine, it's so much harder. And if there's one like literally in your house, like, who are you to say no to that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. This is what I would advise a friend. I would say, listen, what you're doing is, it's a little awkward. Nothing wrong with it when you get down to the
nitty gritty.
To the nitty gritty. But it's a little awkward. So I would say to her, I would say you need to really figure out if like this is a real connection, like, and a real relationship that you would really make everything so weird for the rest of your family in order to pursue. If it is that, go for it, because, you know, it's hard to find love.
The vagina wants what the vagina wants.
And it really is. But if this is you just being bored in quarantine and like making things weird for your family for the rest of time, like, go somewhere else.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, if this is true love, like, the family will find its way to work around the weirdness.
And you know what? If it's true love and you guys are together forever, this is a beautiful thing for the family. The families are forever joined.
But if she thinks that this is true love and it ends up just being like a good time during quarantine, like spending time with someone, feeling close to someone, and then you made all this weirdness for your family and it didn't even work out, like, then that's where this becomes really detrimental for your family, for your parents' relationship. Like, it would just be bad.
Yeah. And then the virginity piece.
Oh, it's I'm not really attached to virginities. Like, get it over with.
I'm not attached to virginities now, but when you are a virgin.
Yeah, I guess.
You are. I was like attached to virginity and who's going to take your virginity, and like that's just going to set you up for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, you think it has like lifelong meaning.
Right. Now in hindsight, it doesn't, but I'm sure that's how she feels. But it's crazy to me that she would be engaged for and with someone for 5 years and not want to have sex, but then.
Right, because if you're saving yourself, like, why not with your 5-year fiance?
But in quarantine, like with your brother.
Right. And 5 years is a long time to be engaged, especially if you're a virgin. It's long normally, but if you're a virgin, it makes something's fishy about the story.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were engaged for 5 years.
Or they were together for 5 years and part of that was engaged.
Oh, okay. But still, that's a really long time to be with someone and not have sex.
Yeah.
And usually, like, if you are waiting for marriage, which is a totally lovely thing to do, things move a little quicker.
Yes. But also, maybe she just, like, it's just indicative that fiance like was not the guy for her.
Now right,
that
she knew.
She has met her brother and she's like so comfortable.
You know, there's nothing better than family. Family forever. All right, that's Dear Toasters. Again, if you ever want to write in, our email is deartoasters@gmail.com. We will always keep it anonymous. And we're talking about anything from incest to wedding stuff to whatever you want to talk about. I would like to hear back from that girl whose boyfriend was donating to a sperm bank. I never heard back from her, but if you're listening, you're still a toaster. I don't know if the past couple months took you out, but if you're still here, please write back. I'm so curious whatever happened to you. And also, if we've read one of your stories, people enjoy the updates. It's like Shark
people
Tank.
People love the updates. So please, not just sperm bank, any of these stories that we've ever done, we love the updates. Everyone loves them. So please let us know what is going on.
Yes. But also, if you just need advice, again, the email is deartoasters@gmail.com. That is all she wrote. We are about to upload an episode to our Patreon channel. So if you are looking for more content from us, join our Patreon. It is a fabulous community where for $8 a month, you get 5 extra episodes every month. They're video vlogs, they're audio podcasts, they're really anything. We sometimes do Toast Radio. We do all these fun segments. And then once you become a member, you get access to our very fabulous private Facebook group called The Toast After Dark. And it's worth the $7.99 IMO.
IMO.
And that is all she wrote.
We will see you tomorrow. Goodbye. Goodbye. That's my new favorite.
Wait, but can I do
my... I tuned out. I thought that's what you were doing.
Okay. That's so hurtful that you tuned out. Like, so fucking hurtful.
I was focused on my new favorite.
Me too. It's departure. So good.
It's so good. If you guys don't get the reference.
It's the production company for Real Housewives of Dallas, right?
Yes.
So like after the episodes, you know, they all have like their Georgia Peach thing. Like they have all the little credits. Okay. We'll show you. But before that, thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show. We are available on YouTube and anywhere you can find podcasts. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Oh, also fun update. Our videos are now available on Spotify. So if you are a YouTube listener or you'd like to watch videos or you're ready to listen on Spotify, head over to Spotify because you can now listen to our podcast as audio and video, which is fabulous.
Which is so exciting.
And wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast. Leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We love you guys very much. We hope you have a fabulous day.
Goodbye.
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 Bye.